Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the occasion that brings us to this place tonight. Lord, we do thank you that we're able to come before you and celebrate this marriage. Lord, we do not want to neglect to thank you for that great reality that is pictured even tonight, which is the marriage of Christ to his church. Lord, we do thank you that we come before you not only as our Creator, but also as our Father, our Redeemer, who has saved us by the precious blood of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we do ask that as we celebrate this event, that our minds would also be brought to that great redemption. That as we are conscious now that we are here before you, may we be aware of your presence. May we be aware of who we are in Christ before you. And Lord, as we now see these two married, that we would be full of praise and adoration. And we ask, Lord, for your presence at this time. May your blessing be upon both Rob and Ashley from this moment on for the rest of their lives as they seek to establish their home with Christ in the midst. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Would you turn to the first hymn in your order of service? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Congregation may be seated. We're met this evening in the presence of God to solemnize the union of this man and this woman in the covenant of matrimony, to witness their vows and to commend them to the care and the blessing of the Lord. Marriage is a divine ordinance. Our Savior himself was present at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Paul the Apostle has declared this union a symbol of the mystical union between Christ and his church. We therefore recognize in the love that enters into the hearts of husband and wife a divine gift to be cherished and guarded thoughtfully. Marriage is therefore to be held in honor by all and ought not to be engaged in rashly, thoughtlessly or lightly, but advisedly, reverently and in the fear of God. We come to this house tonight with the confession of God's great goodness and prayer for his continual favor. into the holy state of marriage, these two persons come now to be joined. Wherefore, if anyone can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else forever hold his peace. Also I require and charge you both, as you shall answer at the day of judgment, that if either of you know any just cause where you may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, you do now declare it. I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not of any lawful impediment.
I know not of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Rob Dykes.
Why I, Rob Dykes.
Should not be joined in marriage to Ashley Stair.
Should not be joined in marriage to Ashley Stair.
I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not of any lawful impediment.
That I know not of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Ashley Stair.
Why I, Ashley Stair.
Should not be joined in marriage to Rob Dykes.
Should not be joined in marriage to Rob Dykes.
Rob. Wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honour and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, obey, honour and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him, so long as ye both shall live? Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I.
Take Ashley's right hand. Ashley's right hand. Repeat after me. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present
to witness that I, Rob Dykes,
witness that I, Rob Dykes,
do take thee, Ashley Stair,
do take thee, Ashley Stair,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
for better, for worse,
for better, for worse,
for richer, for poorer,
for richer, for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health,
to love and to cherish,
to love and to cherish,
till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Ashley Stair.
To witness that I, Ashley Stair.
Do take thee, Rob Dykes.
Do take thee, Rob Dykes.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken thee to be my wife.
That I have taken thee to be my wife.
I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken thee to be my husband.
That I have taken thee to be my husband.
Whom the Lord hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of witnesses, I now declare them husband and wife. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace.
Whose glory.
Let me be the first to congratulate Rob and Ashley. We trust the Lord will richly bless them, not just today, but in the days to come. The Lord will be with them and undertake for them for the remainder of their lives. I want to read a portion from the New Testament tonight and then some verses from the Old Testament. Reading first of all from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the 5th chapter, commencing at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And then some words from Proverbs chapter 3, commencing at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Marriage is a momentous step for any young couple, due to the fact that it involves young people leaving their homes, leaving their own families and their parents, and setting up an altogether new home, a new family, a new unit. That invariably brings tremendous changes, tremendous challenges, and at times tremendous choices. I think the reality of marriage is well summed up for us in the words that we find in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Where the Lord said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. On one hand, there is a separation. He leaves his father and his mother. But on the other hand, there is a special union. He cleaves unto his wife. And given the momentous thing that marriage is, and the momentous responsibilities that marriage brings, it's vital for a young couple to seek God's way forward in their marriage. I know that there's no shortage of advice on this subject. There are numerous books, specialized magazines, undoubtedly television programs add to all of that as well. And there's so much advice that's given out there in regard to marriage. But the best guide, the safest guide for any young couple and a couple who know and profess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the best guide for them, of course, is going to be the Word of God. God knows the way that we should take. He knows what we need. He knows our hearts. He knows the future. He knows the dangers and the perils. He knows the temptations and the trials. He knows the troubles. He knows the joys, the delights, the expectations. He knows the experiences that His people will go through. And therefore, God, having this tremendous knowledge and knowing all things, is best suited to guiding and directing our steps in regard to marriage. That thought brings me to Proverbs chapter 3. I don't think I've ever been at a wedding. And those of you who don't know where I'm not from America, obviously. I'm from Northern Ireland. And I don't think I've ever been at a wedding in Northern Ireland where the words of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 have not been quoted, either in the service or in the reception that follows. They are tremendous words. Solomon speaks here. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Tremendous words. Tremendous words for an occasion like this. Words that are full of sound counsel. Words that are tremendously important, and if they're faithfully followed and carefully obeyed, will undoubtedly bring tremendous blessing to Rob and to Ashley. And so for a few minutes tonight, I want to draw their attention and all who have gathered here, our attention tonight, to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Three simple thoughts. I discover here, first of all, a duty towards God. A duty towards God. Proverbs chapter 3 opens with a very simple, but a very significant word of counsel. The opening words are these: "My son, forget not my law." And those words can only mean one thing: that we are to pay particular attention to the word of the living God. Solomon is not speaking here about the laws of men. He's not speaking about the philosophies, the ideas, the theories that are abounding or were abounding in his day and generation. He's speaking rather about the law of God. God's special revelation to man. God's word. And we have this duty. It's a duty that's true of us in every circumstance. It's a duty that's true of Rob and Ashley tonight. A duty to obey that word. We are to make the scriptures our sole rule of faith and practice. We are to give very careful attention to the message of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We are to do what God commands. We are to obey what God directs. To put the matter very, very simply, God's word is to hold a supreme position in our lives. Some time ago I read the story of the history of the Pony Express. Going from Missouri to California, that means of mail delivery was established over 2 months in the winter of 1860, an undertaking of enormous proportions. With 120 riders on horseback going a certain distance each and then passing the mail over to another rider and he would go another distance. 184 different stations involved in that whole planning system. 400 horses involved and several hundred personnel involved in the operation of what became known as the Pony Express. Alexander Majors, one of the founders of the Pony Express, was a religious man. And he resolved, by the help of God, that he would overcome all difficulties. Those men who came into his employment had to sign an oath. The oath read like this: "While I am an employee of A. Majors, I agree not to use profane language, not to get drunk, not to gamble, not to treat animals cruelly, and not to do anything else that is incompatible with the conduct of a gentleman. And I agree, if I violate any of the above conditions, to accept my discharge without any pay for my services." He did something else. You can appreciate the need when you're carrying mail by horseback on the Pony Express to keep things as light as possible. The mail was expensive. It had to be on very special lightweight paper. But despite all of those arrangements, when the Pony Express was established, Alexander Majors made sure that every rider involved in the Pony Express had a copy of the Word of God. Lightweight copies. And they had to carry those Bibles with them wherever they went on their journey across the states. How important that is, to carry a copy of the Word of God. He felt that was so important as they engaged in that tremendous work of carrying the mail across those states. When I come into the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, I discover God saying something very similar to Israel. As they entered into the promised land, they were to take heed to God's word. When they sat down, when they rose up, they were to have it on their homes, they were to tell it to their children. They were to be very careful with the word of God. He tells the same thing to Joshua, not to let the word depart from his mouth, not to turn to the left hand or to the right hand as he entered into that land. He was not to be swayed or diverted from God's law, but he was to live in the light of it. There was a duty to the law of God. I think of Christ and his statements in Matthew 7, bringing his Sermon on the Mount to an end, speaking of the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and he prefaces that story by telling those who would obey his word, take heed to his word, that they would be like the wise man, not like the foolish man who built upon the sand. Taking heed to God's word is always the mark of a wise man. There is a duty before God here. And as Rob and Ashley set out this day to build a home, I urge them, especially from the very beginning, to build that home upon the Word of God. It's interesting that one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is He is the Word, the incarnate Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There's no greater foundation, no greater way forward than to build upon the inspired Word and the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Proverbs 24 these words, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant things." The house is built, it's erected, the house is established, and the house is enriched by obedience to God's word. It's a very solemn thing, and I pray that Rob and Ashley will take that truth to heart, a duty towards God. I also see here a dependence upon God. Solomon was a very wise man, and he knew that he could not go forward in his own strength. He did not have all the answers. He knew as he went to reign over the nation of Israel that there were situations he needed divine guidance on, divine direction on. It has to be very interesting when he was about to step into that role. His father had died, and he was the man to take over the leadership of Israel. And as he dreamed, God came to him and spoke to him in the dream by the night and asked him, "What is it you want? Ask whatever you would have." And Solomon asked for understanding, an understanding heart. Because even though he was a young man, he understood that there were things he didn't know. Proverbs chapter 3 indicates the very same thing. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on to thine own understanding." Depend upon God. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. We are to depend upon God personally. We are to depend upon Him prayerfully, carrying everything to God in prayer. We are to depend upon God precisely. It is in all our ways acknowledge Him. There are some remarkable verses in Scripture with that theme in mind. Psalm 25, for example, the psalmist cries, "Show me thy ways, O God, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalm 27, verse 11, the cry goes up, "Teach me thy way." Exodus chapter 33, "Show me now thy way." This passage was in my mind before the rehearsal last evening, before I knew what hymns had been chosen for the service. We've been singing already, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." The author of that hymn was a man by the name of William Williams, a Welsh man, and I suppose that's why the hymn has been chosen. And he was preparing to become a churchman, a preacher, in the high church in Wales. But he heard an evangelist preach, a man the name of Howell Harris. And having heard Howell Harris preach, William Williams decided not to become a clergyman in the high church in Wales, but he decided under God's providence and God's direction to become an evangelical minister. He said he would take the whole of Wales for his parish. And for 43 years he travelled almost 100,000 miles on horseback, preaching and singing the gospel in the Welsh language. One of his hymns, it's the hymn that we've been singing tonight, "Guide Me. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more." What's he doing there? He's acknowledging he needed to be guided by the Lord. His dependence was upon God. And that ought to be our constant prayer. Rob and Ashley don't know what the future holds for them. It's our prayer the Lord guides them, directs them, makes them a blessing, and gives them many, many happy years together. But we don't know what a future holds. That's true of any of us. How good it is to know the one who holds the future, to have our trust in him, to depend upon the Lord. We need to seek the Lord, to have our faith and our trust in him, to know him as our Savior, our King, and our friend. There's a duty here towards God. There's a dependence upon God. There is a direction from God. Solomon says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Those who seek God shall find him. And those who cry to him for help, they will receive it. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's a very interesting word, the word "direct" that's used there. It means to straighten. It means to make pleasant. It means to prosper. So let me paraphrase it this way. Those who depend upon God will be led in God's way, which is always going to be the way of blessing. It's always going to be the way of blessing. It's the Lord who makes the crooked places straight. It's the Lord who makes the rough places smooth. Doesn't mean that the child of God, the believer in Christ, doesn't have trials, because we do. Doesn't mean that life is always smooth, because sometimes it's not. But it means we have one who knows the way that we take, and our times are in his hand, and he gives us the direction that we need. He did that with Israel. He gave them the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, to guide them, to direct them. And the Lord is able to do that, guide and direct his people in these days. He told Joshua, "Don't turn to the left hand or to the right hand. Keep with my word. Keep with the law of Moses. Keep with the word that I've commanded thee, and thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt be in the wise way, and you'll know my blessing." And that's what God says to Rob and Ashley tonight. As they start off together as man and wife, the Lord has promised to direct their paths. And I pray that God will richly bless the both of you in a very powerful way. It's not that you've abandoned your families. You've entered into each other's family. And that's a tremendous thing. And I pray that from this day forward, from this hour forward, the Lord will richly bless the both of you and make you a blessing to many, many others. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's most important that we have Christ as our Savior. Most important we have him as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It speaks here of trusting in the Lord. How vital that is for time and for eternity to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And as I bring this short address to a close, we all ask ourselves that question: do we trust in the Lord? Have we been saved by faith alone, in Christ alone? And I trust, and I know that will be the prayer of Rob and Ashley today too, that as we've thought about this marriage being a picture of the marriage of Christ and his people, that you will be numbered among that heavenly bride, be in Christ and know Christ as your Saviour and your friend. May the Lord bless his word. May the Lord bless Rob and Ashley and their families. We know Rob's family can't be with us tonight. They will be able to watch this service later. And that we pray the Lord will bless his family and the Stair family as well, and undertake for them in the days to come. We're going to turn to the final hymn on your order of service tonight. At the very back of the order of service here is Love, Vast as the Ocean, Loving Kindness as the Flood. And please stand as we sing. This very happy occasion. We pray tonight especially for Rob and Ashley that thou wilt keep thy gracious hand upon them. We thank thee for the love that thou hast placed in their hearts for each other. We thank thee for bringing them to this point in their lives. We thank thee too tonight, Lord, especially for the love they have in their hearts for thee, for the love that thou dost have for them. We thank thee for that day and their experience when they came to know Christ as their Saviour. And Lord, as they commence married life together, we pray they might know the experience of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Christ himself drew near and went with them. We ask, Lord, thou wilt draw near to thy children here, thy servants here, and Lord, thou wilt go with them. Bless Rob's family tonight. Keep thy hand upon them. Remember the Stair family also. We thank thee for them. We ask, Lord, thou wilt be gracious to them. So bless this couple. Bless their home. May it be built firmly upon Christ. And make them to be a blessing. Make us to be a blessing to them. For we ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. The congregation, please be seated. Gives me the greatest pleasure to present to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Rob Dykes.